Okay. Two Bible readings this morning. The first is from Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 13. And the second one is from 1 Corinthians 10. And that's a short one, it's just verse 13. So, reading from Matthew 6. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And moving to Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. Amen.
Thanks, Dave. So if you want to help Dave and Adrian cooking sausages, please do go and see him afterwards. It's great to have you all here today, and it's been great to do the blessing for Lucy. And we're continuing this morning in looking at our series of the Lord's Prayer pattern and how Jesus taught us to pray using this prayer that many of us have probably heard before and may know quite well for ourselves. And this morning we're looking at the issue of temptation, of actually tackling temptation. And I think it's quite appropriate, really, because for those of us who've got either young children of our own or have had children, it's worth looking at this because, as you'll see in a little bit, the whole issue of dealing with temptation, particularly where children are concerned, is quite a tricky one. So what is temptation? Well, it's the desire to do something, especially something wrong or unwise. But the question is, well, who makes the decision whether it's wrong or unwise? Because I don't know about you, but sometimes the little temptations come in and I actually end up justifying them in some way and saying, well, I will eat that other piece of cake because it will save somebody else having to eat it if they're on a diet. Or there may be other reasons. Or I'll go slightly faster in the car because I've really got to make that appointment today. I once had the experience of, I was doing an interview on Radio Lancashire. And I listened to the radio and it was about 7 o'clock in the morning. And I actually was listening and Joe Wilson was saying, and our next guest is Ian Clarkson. And I'm like, ah, that's me. So I slightly went a little bit faster, thinking there won't be anybody else on the road in Blackburn at 7 o'clock in the morning when there was this almighty flash. And I'd been caught by a speed camera. And I tried to justify it that I was actually late for an interview on Radio Lancashire. I had a good reason for speeding, but it doesn't cut any ice with the authorities. Anyway. Less of that confession, the better. Also, though, there's other reasons. And one of them is that I believe that temptation is defined by our turning away from what God wants for us. So why does Jesus, in this prayer we've been looking at in Matthew's Gospel, want to teach us to stay away from temptation? And I believe it's this. Because God actually wants the very best for us. And for our families, and for our community. And he wants each of us to be in a relationship with him as our Heavenly Father. It's when temptation comes in that we will often turn away from him and his plans for us. It may start as just something small, just something insignificant, but gradually it can start to snowball and snowball until it becomes like an avalanche and we lose control of where we're at. But also I think it's that we actually are led astray by people or by situations or our circumstances. Right at the beginning of the Bible, we see a classic temptation. Adam and Eve are made by God. They are created by him and it is all good. He offers them everything in the Garden of Eden except one thing. Everything else is at their fingertips. All of his abundance and his blessing is for them. And he just says, there's one thing, just stay away from that one thing. To put it in a modern day context, it's like God gives you a gold credit card and says, you can go into somewhere like the Trafford Centre and you can go into any shop you want and buy whatever you need. But there's just one tiny little newsagent in the corner I want you to stay away from. I don't know about you, but I want to know what was in that newsagent and why I couldn't actually go in there and why was that so important. So what we see is, as they're walking through the garden, the serpent comes along and tempts Eve and tries to break the relationship that they have with God. And it does get broken because they do eat of that fruit that God said, don't eat of it. But then they go into hiding. They try and hide away from God because of the guilt that they feel, because they know they have broken their relationship with him. They try and hide, and then they try and pass the blame. When God says to the man, what have you done? He goes, it was her fault. How many of us guys in a situation will say, well, it was her fault? So I want to ask you this morning, what's your weakness or temptation? I don't need you to tell me. That's just for you to know. But what is your weakness or temptation? On the screen is a lovely big chocolate cake. And as I was preparing for this week, I thought it would be a really good idea to give in to every temptation that came my way. No, I didn't really. But I did do a little bit of a temptation thing, because there's a group of guys that meet with me as part of a home group, and we study the Bible together, we pray together, and we just get to know each other better. And this week they were actually meeting at our house. So I had my lovely wife, Joanna, make a whacking great big cake. And not only cake, because some of them don't like cake, to make homemade biscuits as well. And every opportunity I said, would you like another piece? Would you like another cake? They just gave in every time, more or less. And it's just amazing, isn't it, that we often have the best of intentions. But I want to just show you a little video clip. And this is from the series that's on at the moment. This is actually from the previous series. But it's actually... the music starts playing. There's actually... It's a documentary series called The Secret Life of Four-Year-Olds. It's on Channel 4 at the moment. You can catch up on demand with some of the earlier episodes. But one of the great things is, and the premise of it is this, they take this group of about 10 four-year-olds, five girls, five boys, they place them into a teaching environment, and they have loads of hidden cameras, and then they have these two teachers who keep giving them little tests and challenges to see how they'll respond with each other, but also how they will cope with those different tests. And I think this is really cruel. What they do is, where the girls are in one of the classrooms, they place this entire chocolate cake and say, don't touch it, don't eat it, we'll have it later. They do the same with the boys who are playing outside. They say, we're going to have it later, it's for Olive's birthday later, don't touch it, don't eat it. So what we're now going to see is how the girls and the boys actually do on this challenge.
I'm just looking at it.
Don't!
What?
Caesar!
It just looks delicious.
Caesar, still!
No, I didn't eat it.
The girls manage to resist temptation and leave the cake alone. Now for the boys.
What is that for?
This is just Olive's cake for later.
Okay, so I've got to leave it there.
No, it's Olive's cake for later.
Leave it as it is. So in that sort of situation, what you really need to do is to get away from the source of the temptation, and some boys did that. What Ulfie did was the worst thing possible, which is to sit himself over the cake and smell it and look at it.
This makes my mouth water.
That looks yummy.
I love chocolate.
It smells chocolate.
Yum.
Smell the cake. Smell the cake.
Oh.
Smell the cake.
He's eating it.
No, I just took a lick. That's all.
That's how it starts, though, mate.
Should we lick the top? So that's...
Oh my god!
Yummy! Don't take that chocolate.
Leave it now.
Yeah, except... now leave it.
No!
Oh, sorry. I'll put it back.
I love the fact that touching the cake or altering its appearance in any way is treated with moral outrage by our group of boys, but licking it isn't. And I think this tells us something really important about their moral world. They don't care about doing wrong, but they do care about getting caught.
So, if you have a 4-year-old or younger in your house, I'm just warning you, they have probably licked something that you've left out. I know this from experience in our household over the years, or you will find fingerprints because they're just seeing what it's like and you suddenly find this finger hole in the cake or whatever it is. It happens. But isn't it interesting that what the psychologists are saying is, in that sort of a situation where temptation is staring you in the face, the best thing to do is get away from it as quickly as possible. Alfie was lost from the moment he sat next to it, poor guy, because he goes, that's it. Mouth watering, he's gone. He's having a bit of that cake no matter what he does. But did you see what else happened? All the other boys start to come back. All their best intentions. But round of applause for the girls, because they were quite, no, Caesar, she goes anywhere near it. Does that mean girls are better than boys? We'll see. A very simple example of temptation. There's a story in the Bible, and it's one of the best known stories, the story of Joseph, where he's been sold into slavery by his brothers, and he's ended up in Egypt, and he now works for one of the high officials, Potiphar. He works hard, and he's soon put in charge of Potiphar's house and all the other slaves that he owns. But soon he's tempted by Potiphar's wife, because he's a very handsome, well-built young man, and she really likes the look of him, and she keeps trying to tempt him to be with her. But Joseph keeps refusing. He says, look, my master trusts me with everything in his entire household. No one has even more authority than I do. He's held nothing back from me except you, because you are his wife. How could I do such a wicked thing? It would be a great sin against God. But she keeps putting pressure on him day after day. But he keeps refusing, and he tries to keep out of her way as much as possible. But then one day, no one else is around when he goes into the house to do his work. She comes in and she grabs him, demanding that he goes with her. But Joseph tears himself away, leaving his cloak in his hand and absolutely legging it out of the house. Joseph was doing his best to avoid the temptation. He was trying to keep out of the way, but when it became unavoidable, he ran. Why? Because he knew the consequences if he stayed, and he knew that talking his way out of it wasn't working for him. And I think that's what precisely we and I need to do when we are faced with some big temptations. In ancient Greek mythology, sirens were creatures that enchanted sailors with their beautiful songs. So alluring that sailors would sail closer and closer until their ships were wrecked and they were killed on the rocks beneath the sirens. To survive this fate, the Greek king Ulysses blocks his crew's ears with beeswax and asks them to tie him to the mast so that he couldn't steer the ship towards danger. Another Greek hero, Jason, had a different tactic. He brought Orpheus, the best musician in all of Greece, on his voyage. When they sailed near to the sirens' enchanting tunes and beautiful singing, Orpheus simply played a sweeter song. I want to ask you this morning, what are the siren songs that are tempting you today? Is there for you a better song that you could be listening to? I just want to give you some practical things to help us as we deal with tackling temptation. Firstly, it's that we actually face it. We know what our temptations are, where our weaknesses for ourselves are. They may be entirely different to the person sitting next to you. But there are things and situations that will affect you, that steer you off the course that I believe God may have for you. Secondly, is to understand it. Work out why it is a temptation for you. What is it actually distracting you from doing or being? And thirdly, to avoid it. What is the beeswax or the filters that you can put in place? But just then, like Joseph as well, that if we can't avoid it, maybe we actually need to run from it as well. Whatever the temptation or the triggers to temptation might be, get away from the situation as fast as you can. For you, that might actually mean leaving the house, even leaving the restaurant or the pub, leaving the shop, the church even, or turning off your TV or your phone or your computer, maybe even putting the credit card away for a while. I've heard of some people actually even freeze their credit card so that they can't use it just when they've suddenly got this temptation to go out and just buy something that they don't really need. But it's about getting away from that opportunity immediately. And if you can't physically get away from it, try and turn away from it. So to use an acronym of RUN, firstly, it's to remove yourself immediately. Don't sit in front of it. Don't smell it. And if it's a chocolate cake, definitely don't lick it. But where do you need to remove yourself from? Secondly, it's undistort your thinking. Whatever's going round in your head telling you to act on that temptation, I guarantee it's pulling you in the wrong direction, onto the rocks of guilt and shame. Think of something better. Or maybe never forget what you may have to lose. Think about the consequences. Joseph knew that he had been given all authority. But even more importantly than that, his relationship with God was of greatest importance. He knew that if he'd gone with Potiphar's wife, that was going to destroy the most important relationship in his life. The acronym of RUN is the simple, most important relapse prevention technique there is. Psychologists and those who are working with people with addictions agree this is important. If you don't have this sort of thing in place, you're not going to succeed. So it may mean having techniques ready to distract you from your craving and your temptation. If possible, also ones that will help you emotionally and psychologically into a safer place. Whether that's listening to music, a podcast, an audio book, having something else to read, having important photos of loved ones on your phone or in your wallet or your purse, or a contact list of people who will encourage you, pray for you, or be there to support you. It's important that we realize that some temptations will just lead us into a bad place. We've heard as part of the reading from 1 Corinthians 10 this morning, another one of Paul's letters to encourage the churches in his care. It says this: no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. As part of what Jesus is teaching us through that prayer, I believe what he's asking us to do is, if times are tough, if temptations are great, ask God for help. Ask him to save us from the evil in the world, but also maybe save us from ourselves and our own weakness. Paul again sums it up in his letter to Romans. He says this in Romans 7. I don't understand what I do. What I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ, our Lord. God has given us Jesus, that when times are tough, when temptations are great, we can turn to him. Jesus himself was tempted by the devil. And the devil used every scheme he could to try and trick him. But Jesus knew what he had to do, and he did it. And he also prays for us by saying, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. And we've also heard that God provides the Holy Spirit to help us as well. God wants to be in relationship with each and every single one of us. The devil wants to lead us astray. So God has given us Jesus, the greatest gift he can, that as we come into Christmas, we celebrate his birth. But he has given his son so that we can come back to that place of being in a right relationship with him. That we can live lives as God wants us to live, walking with him every day. Can I encourage you this morning to find that as your sweeter song? That if you are facing tough times, God is there for you. He has given his son to die on the cross for you. All we have to do is get it right, get our relationship back with him right, through praying and asking God for help. Asking him not to lead us into those things that would cause harm to our journey through life with him. Asking him not to let us be tempted beyond what we can bear, so that we can grow in our faith in him. To know and understand we don't have to do this journey called life on our own. That God is there for us. So who could be against us? That he has given us all that he can in his son, Jesus Christ. And then in the New Testament it says in John, if you love me, keep my commands. And Jesus says, I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. So God has given us his Son, but also his Holy Spirit to help us every day discern what he wants us to do. I'm standing up here as someone who has not got it all sorted. I still face temptations. Sometimes I give in to those temptations. Whether it's what I say to people, how I respond to people. And I know sometimes I hurt people, but I also know that I need to ask them for forgiveness, but also to ask God for forgiveness. That is why Jesus teaches us to pray. But also to know that I, like you, am a work in progress. And I just want to finish with some wise words from John Newton. John Newton was a former slave trader who had an amazing encounter with God, and who also then went on to write the well-known hymn, Amazing Grace. And he said this: I am not what I ought to be, nor what I wish to be, or what I hope to be, but by the grace of God, I am not what I once was. May that be for each and every one of us. Let us listen to the sweeter song that God is singing to us today, that he loves us and wants to be with us. God bless you.